From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln. Today we are talking about and celebrating some major pro-life news from the Trump administration, who has proposed a new rule reforming the Title X program to ensure that America's taxpayer dollars are not funding abortion clinics. We're going to talk about what this means, as well as take a look at White Clay, Nebraska. More than a year after the four liquor stores were closed, White Clay, of course, is notorious for alcoholism and the effects that these liquor stores were having on the neighboring Pine Ridge Reservation, where 3.5 million cans of beer were sold in White Clay every year in a town of just 8 people. What does it look like now? What's changed? What hasn't? We'll have the updates. But first, some good news for Nebraska this past week, which ranked 4th in a groundbreaking study on family prosperity. This past week, the Family Prosperity Initiative released their 2018 version of their hallmark work, which is the Family Prosperity Index. This groundbreaking project clearly shows the interrelationship of economic and social issues, and particularly the impact on the state of our most treasured and important natural resource, married moms and dads, the family. The index ranks all 50 states on 6 broad categories, each supported by numerous sub-data points ranging from economics, demographics, family self-sufficiency, family structure, culture, and health. Using all of this data, an overall ranking is then determined, and Nebraska ranks 4th in the entire country for family prosperity. I think this is a reflection of the reputation that Nebraska has as being one of the best places, truly one of the best places in the country to live and raise a family. And at Nebraska Family Alliance, we want to make Nebraska the best place for families. We want to create a state where God is honored, marriages and families thrive, and life is cherished and protected. Thankfully, our state legislature this year took action to make sure that life is cherished and protected by reforming the Title X program in Nebraska by sending taxpayer dollars from the Title X program only to health clinics who are not engaged in the abortion industry. This was a major, hard-fought pro-life victory, and now the federal government is following Nebraska's lead. This past week, the Trump administration announced plans for a new rule to the federal Title X program, which is designed for family planning and health services. And unfortunately, for far too long, this federal program has sent taxpayer dollars to abortion clinics. And this victory, both in Nebraska and now at the federal level, is the result of a lot of hard work by many, many thousands of pro-life Americans making their voice heard. This new rule to protect life from the Trump administration will cut a significant amount of taxpayer funding from Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers. And this announcement has people fired up on both sides of this issue, but it's important to remember that when the Title X program was enacted in 1970 by Congress, it explicitly banned using the funds for abortion. It clearly states Congress's intent when they enacted the Title X program. They said, none of the funds appropriated under this title shall be used in programs where abortion is a method of family planning. So all the president is doing is really putting the Title X program back in line with its original purpose, which certainly did not include abortion. This is a rule that the Reagan administration put in place and mandated that the Title X programs cannot promote, counsel, or refer clients for abortion. And then this was undone by President Clinton and now thankfully has been reinstated by President Trump. This is good, sound pro-life policy, and importantly, it's not a cut. This is not an attack on healthcare or taking money away from legitimate health clinics. Any tax dollars that are removed rescinded from abortion providers will instead be redirected to actual healthcare providers that provide more services for more people without funding abortion. Currently in the United States, 266 Planned Parenthood abortion centers are also federal Title X locations. Now, it's also important to keep in mind that no one is cut out of the Title X program, even Planned Parenthood, if they comply with the rule changes. So Planned Parenthood would have to substantially revise how it operates to avoid these cuts. And they've already, at least in Nebraska, said that they're not willing to make those changes, which is to separate their abortion activity from their Title X services. So you have to be physically, legally, and financially separate. That's the only way to make sure that this Title X money, taxpayer dollars, aren't being entangled or subsidizing abortion. President Trump received a standing ovation when he talked about this new rule change last week at the Susan B. Anthony List Gala in Washington, D.C.
For decades, American taxpayers have been wrongfully forced to subsidize the abortion industry through Title X federal funding. So today, we have kept another promise. My administration has proposed a new rule to prohibit Title X funding from going to any clinic that performs.
That was the announcement from President Trump himself, who went on to talk about and stress how the pro-life movement and pro-life leadership is growing across the United States.
Now, for the first time since Roe v. Wade, America has a pro-life president, a pro-life vice president, a pro-life House of Representatives, and 25 pro-life Republican state capitals. That is pretty good. That is pretty good. Wow. That is pretty good. When I ran for office, I pledged to stand for life. And as president, that's exactly what I've done. And I have kept my promise, and I think everybody here understands that fully.
Okay, so has President Trump kept his promises to be a pro-life president? Well, other than this new proposed rule change to the Title X program, when you run down the list of new policies or administrative actions or executive orders from the president, and also how he has used his pulpit, the answer is clearly yes. Here's just some of the things, the pro-life initiatives and victories that we have seen in just over a year under the Trump administration. Of course, the appointment of originalist judge Neil Gorsuch to the United States Supreme Court. The Trump administration then permitted states to defund Planned Parenthood of Title X funds, which we did here in Nebraska and will now be done in every state thanks to further action from the Trump administration. They stopped federal tax dollars from funding organizations that perform abortion overseas. They have defunded the pro-abortion United Nations Population Fund, and they enforced Obamacare requirements that insurers disclose if plans cover abortion. Further, they granted relief to religious and moral objectors from HHS abortifacient mandates. They appointed pro-life personnel to key HHS administration positions. They created new conscience and religious freedom division at Health and Human Services, ensuring that individuals who have sincerely held religious or moral beliefs about abortion are not forced to promote or engage in abortion in any way. And they've also called on Congress to send the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act to the president's desk, which the president has said time and time again that he would sign that bill past the House, but is short of the votes to overcome a filibuster in the United States Senate. And lastly, this year, President Trump became the first president in United States history to directly address the annual March for Life. That is a long list of pro-life victories in just over a year, and I believe that our state and nation are better for it because the pro-life movement is growing, and pro-life people aren't just anti-abortion. We are committed to supporting life in all its forms: children in foster care, adoptive families, pregnant women, newborns, and their mothers. Life inside the womb is valuable just like life outside the womb, and our laws and policies at every level here in the state of Nebraska and at the federal level should reflect this fundamental truth. And the great news is, because of science and advancements in medicine and technology, more people are waking up to that fundamental truth that the unborn are human, worthy of protecting. And I came across this past week. A former abortionist actually testified and spoke about why she became pro-life, and is an incredibly moving and powerful 2-minute speech on what she has seen and why she has shifted her stance from actually performing abortions to now becoming pro-life. Because while we can choose to look the other way, we can never say that we did not know.
My name is Dr. Kathy Altman. I'm a retired OBGYN of 35 years, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Charlotte Lozier Institute and myself. When I entered medical school, I believed that the availability of abortion on demand was solely an issue of women's rights. I felt no more compassion for the fetus than I did for the chick embryos that I dissected in college. I continued to do abortions without reservation, even while pregnant. But after my delivery, I made the connection between fetus and baby. The fact that the baby was unwanted was no longer enough justification for me to kill it, and I could no longer do abortions. My views also changed during my practice as I saw young women who did amazingly well after deciding to keep their unplanned pregnancies, in contrast to those who were struggling with the emotional and physical aftermath of abortion. That wasn't what I was expecting and wasn't consistent with my feminist ideology. I don't believe a woman can remain unscathed after killing her child. At some point, usually after childbirth or the inability to get pregnant, the realization of what she did hits her. It wasn't until after my first child that I regretted my own abortion. I wish that there had been a heartbeat bill back then, or that it had not been so terribly easy to get an abortion. We have convinced our young women that an unplanned pregnancy is the worst thing that can happen to them, and that their right to reproductive freedom is more important than their baby's right to life. Because we can't see who they will become, we feel justified in sacrificing babies in the womb for the convenience of the people we can see. I love to meet adults that I delivered, but it's always bittersweet because I am reminded of all the people I will never meet because I aborted them. It also reminds me that I am a mass murderer. I support the Heartbeat Protection Act because it uses the heartbeat, a very concrete sign of life that people can identify with, to define when a fetus should be protected. It will protect the lives of those who won't continue to be if we do nothing. They won't be here to cure cancer, to write a beautiful symphony, or to wipe a child's tears. One just has to look at the almost weren't, whose mothers chose not to abort them, to get a glimmer of who they might become and how they might benefit society. I think about my beautiful cousin whose Bangladeshi mother was raped by a Pakistani soldier. She survived her mother's abortion, was rescued by Mother Teresa's nuns, and was adopted by my aunt and uncle. Perhaps we should ask those who were conceived through rape if others like them should be denied protection under the act.
Well, it's not easy to listen to, but this issue is just too important for us not to get right. And if you want to join the pro-life movement here in Nebraska and continue to build on recent success and victory in protecting the unborn here, please visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, where you can learn more about our work to protect the unborn, get information on the Title X program, and what you can do to help support life here in our state. And the reality is that we need more people. We need to keep growing the pro-life grassroots movement in Nebraska, because it was also reported this last week that Planned Parenthood is expanding its presence in the state. They are specifically and strategically expanding Planned Parenthood's influence and presence here in our state of Nebraska. They are specifically and strategically expanding their presence here in Nebraska. Currently, Planned Parenthood of the Heartland is a two-state affiliate overseen by a leadership team in Iowa. Now, as reported by the Omaha World Herald, Nebraska will have its own Planned Parenthood leadership team. Nebraska has a very strong history as a pro-life state. For example, in 2010, Nebraska was the first state in the country to prohibit abortions after 20 weeks. And our unicameral did that. They passed that bill, the 20-week abortion ban, on a vote of 44-5. That same bill, banning abortions after 20 weeks, can't get passed in the United States Senate today. And in 2010, Nebraska passed it 44-5. Since then, Nebraska has created a specialty Choose Life license plate. They passed the Compassion and Care for Medically Challenging Pregnancies Act last year to help women and families and babies who are diagnosed with a lethal fetal anomaly before they are born to have more resources and encourage them to pursue perinatal hospice care. And this past year, we talked about the Title X reform that our state legislature passed to make sure that taxpayer dollars are not funding abortion clinics in Nebraska. And we also passed a really special and unique bill to create an official state-issued commemorative birth certificate recognizing the life of children who are miscarried before 20 weeks. So we do have a strong pro-life history in Nebraska. We're continuing to build it and grow it, but we have to keep working until every human person is guaranteed their right to life. It has now been just over a year that the four beer stores in White Clay, Nebraska had their doors closed permanently. After years of automatic renewals of their liquor licenses, the four beer stores in White Clay lost that request for the renewal of their liquor licenses by a 3-0 vote from the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission in April of 2017. The commission cited a lack of adequate law enforcement, which has no local police force, in a town of only 6 or 7 residents, where the four beer stores sold the equivalent of 3.5 million cans of beer every year. So what does White Clay look like now? What has the effect of that decision been? Was it the right decision to close the beer stores? Well, a new report from the Omaha World Herald by Paul Hamill details what White Clay looks like a year later. And what sticks out to me from this report are a couple things, but mainly, as Paul writes here, it is indisputable, absolutely indisputable, that White Clay has been cleaned up. It is no longer a place where there are large groups of people passed out drunk or openly drinking or urinating and defecating in the street. People aren't being assaulted or raped or killed. There's a number of unsolved murders that happened in White Clay, as well as rape and sexual assault. And so out of this report is almost all positive. The only negative things said, the neighboring town of Rushville, the mayor has said that there's been a bigger trash problem, more people littering on the highway that drives through Rushville. But according to Nebraska State Senator Tom Brewer of Gordon, who represents the White Clay area and is actually also a member of the Oglala Sioux tribe, which of course borders White Clay on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, Senator Brewer said that a lot of good things have happened, but we've got a step or two to go. And I think, of course, that is true. There is still much that needs to be done to get at the heart of the alcohol abuse and addiction that is so rampant on the Pine Ridge Reservation. But I still think when you look at the decision to close the beer stores in White Clay, there's more positive that has come out of this decision. So you had 3.5 million cans of beer sold in a town of 6 or 7 people next to a dry reservation that struggles with just a huge alcohol problem and an extremely high alcohol abuse rate. And there was really no question that White Clay, Nebraska, was contributing to this and complicit of the illegal consumption of alcohol coming from Nebraska and being openly consumed in White Clay or taken back to Pine Ridge. And yes, of course, people are still getting alcohol from other places. But as it's described in the World Herald report, the Skid Row of the Plains, as White Clay was commonly called, is now a dry town that is focused on business rather than booze. So again, for starters, there's no longer the high number of people commonly referred to in White Clay as the street people just openly drinking and passing out. Those people are no longer there. They have moved elsewhere, but the important thing to point out here is that those people are now in communities with local law enforcement that can prevent assault and open drinking. It's safer and alcohol is less accessible for them, which lowers consumption. And many families on the Pine Ridge Reservation are reporting that their relatives who used to go to White Clay every day or stay there have returned home and sobered up. According to John Meisch, a former Oklahoma liquor regulator who made a documentary film about White Clay, said that awareness has increased about fetal alcohol syndrome and that, importantly, lawlessness has ended in White Clay. And while the four beer stores are no longer operating in White Clay, a new Family Dollar discount store opened late last year, and they've even had to hire extra employees to keep the shelves stocked. Also in White Clay, the White Clay grocery store had its best year ever in 2017, and business was also reportedly way up at the Fireside Inn Cafe. Business owners say that they're seeing new customers in town since the beer stores closed and that the smell of urine has left. So by all accounts, White Clay is at the very least a cleaner place and a much safer place. Local businesses are thriving. And it's not just that White Clay is doing better. Probably the biggest concern that was expressed about closing the White Clay liquor stores was that we would have more drunk drivers on the road in that area of the state driving to other locations to get alcohol. According to Sheridan County Sheriff Homer Robbins, there has not been the big number of car accidents or fatalities expected when the liquor stores closed and customers were having to drive further to get alcohol. Also of note, ambulance calls to White Clay are down. So we haven't seen the increase in traffic accidents or fatalities that some people thought might occur. And also ambulance calls to White Clay are way down since the liquor stores closed. And according to one state senator from Pine Ridge, South Dakota, they have said that closing the White Clay beer stores has put a spotlight on healthy alternatives to drinking, and now it's up to them to advocate for more changes to help the Pine Ridge Reservation. It was a controversial, highly debated decision to end the sale of alcohol in White Clay, but we know now, looking back a year later, White Clay is a safer place. There's no longer rampant lawlessness. It's cleaner, it's healthier. And some of the concerns that were expressed by those who wished or thought that the beer store should remain open, some of their concerns about traffic fatalities have not come to fruition. So I think looking back on this, the right decision was made to close the beer stores. I think Nebraska is a better state for it. More people are now being given the help that they need and having the opportunity to reach their full potential, and that is a great thing. For more information on issues affecting family, freedom, and life, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the e-network to get updates and action alerts sent straight to your inbox on the issues that you care about most. Nebraska Family Alliance is proudly standing for justice and strengthening families in Nebraska, and we would love to have you partner with us. That's all the time for this week. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.